Welcome again, Broncos Country, the Horse and Around podcast. Andy Lindahl, Andrew Mason with you as always. Pleased to have you along once again. And I don't know, Andrew, it feels a little like Groundhog Day. Normally in training camp, back in the old days when you and I used to cover two-a-days and they were two-a-day padded practices and on and on and on, it would feel like Groundhog Day because it just felt like you were watching the same drills over and over and over again. Right now for you and I, it's Groundhog Day because the conversation doesn't really seem to shift. So as we begin another week and it's a game week, where are you rating the quarterback competition?
Well, I'm rating it status quo. Hasn't changed. Let's see where we are at the game. I think I've sort of been at the let's get to the game point for about a week now, even though they had the scrimmage on Saturday, but the scrimmage, it didn't really show all that much. You know, Simeon had the nice connection to Benny Fowler on a third down. That was the only first down for the first team. But in general, not a lot of movement against the defense that really had a good day. So I feel like I've just been wanting to get to the point where I want to see these quarterbacks against another defense. And I think even though it's been clear for a while that Vance Joseph doesn't want to, you have, you know, the fact they're going against the no-fly zone, elite defense, blah, 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 used as an excuse, that it's been clear that, okay, we need to see these guys against somebody other than this defense, a group that doesn't have, a defense that doesn't have Chris Harris Jr., Keith Tlaib, Von Miller, Derek Wolfe, and, you know, Darian Stewart, and TJ Warren's injured. Those guys out there, we need to see them against somebody else, some other schemes, some other packages, some other players, and then get a real feel for what these quarterbacks are against a more reasonable level of competition than the one posed by a pass defense that's been the best in the league the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting to me. I feel like Trevor's established himself a little bit. Trevor's kind of talked about how he's feeling a little bit more comfortable. I think he mentioned in the presser today that the first week he was swimming a little bit. It looks like some of the, you know, maybe some of the concepts are starting to stick with him a little bit more. He's still having a better camp than he did a week ago.
Yes.
Now, let me go back to yesterday's practice, and we're recording this on Tuesday. So by yesterday, depending on when you listen to it, we're talking about the Monday practice in the field house. And I've got to say, you know, look, Paxton, as far as reading the defense, is just isn't there for me yet. I still think he throws into coverage that he didn't expect to be there because that's where he's at in the learning progression. But I'll tell you what, Paxton threw some balls in that Monday practice, especially in the warm-up session, where, to me, just the spin of the ball, where he placed it, where he hit the receiver, getting a lot better. It's starting to throw it as they come out of their break, not waiting for them to look at him when he releases the ball. I mean, the physical skill is there, and I'm just begging Broncos country, and frankly, maybe this is even a plea to management, please just don't put him out there until he's ready, because I'll tell you what, the physical skills are there. You know, he's getting his timing down better and better. This isn't a knock against the ball that Trevor Siemian throws, because he does a great job of throwing it into the space and kind of getting it there right as the receiver shows up. It's Peyton Manning-like, not calling him Peyton Manning. Please don't mistake that. But I think that's something that Trevor really picked up from Peyton. You got to get the ball there before the coverage can realize it's going to get there or whatever. And Trevor does that really well. But there are definitely skills that let you see why Paxton Lynch was a first-round pick. And, man, just watching some of the things he did Monday, I just can't help but think to myself, I just am okay if we don't see you right away. This kid has got something. I just don't want to see it rushed because I don't want to see what the aftermath of that would be.
Yeah, because the other thing is if you rush him out there and he gets into a spiral and the mistakes multiply and he develops some bad habits to compensate for those mistakes, then you've messed up his development, and then his tail becomes similar to that of so many other quarterbacks who passed through the league quietly and without being remembered. I mean, you know, look, first round status is not a guarantee of success, and there's a huge graveyard of quarterbacks that got rushed into action before they were ready, and they had great physical tools, but maybe they got pushed out there before the development was done, and it didn't work out. And in part, it didn't work out because there was some level of impatience with their development, and that's what, and that's why they ended up on the scrap heap. Now, in some cases, those guys didn't heat, but some of them certainly could have had that fate avoided if teams had been more patient with their development. So, now, that being said, it's possible that Paxton Lynch could, you know, be that quote-unquote gamer in this scheme, and he could go out in the next couple of games and tear it up and be something far more than he's been in practice. And if that's the case, then you go from there. But if practice form carries over to the games, then, you know, that's where it gives you pause, and maybe you say, okay, you know, let's hold back and think, okay, is he ready? Is he ready to be the starter? And if Trevor Siemian continues to improve, and I think he's done better in this past week, he's not perfect. There are some decisions he'd like to have back. You know, you mentioned that Paxton's done some good work in terms of locating receivers as they're making their breaks. I think at one period on Monday where Paxton Lynch, he had a perfect throw to AJ Derby right as he's making his break in a 4 minute period. It's a pass that you can't defend. You could see the frustration, the defense. They couldn't do anything about it. Completion, move the sticks. In that 4 minute simulation, offense wins, ball game. Trevor Siemian comes out with a second team. Similar situation, about 3rd and 5. And instead of looking for the short route, not a great decision to go deep up the sideline. Isaiah McKenzie, a very low percentage shot in that situation, incomplete. Not a good decision. So again, it's not like every decision Trevor Siemian is making is a good decision. But in general, his decision making is better on the whole. Part of it, I think, is, as he mentioned on Tuesday after practice, the offense is starting to click with him. The decisions are coming faster. They're more often correct. That's helping him play better and more confident. And I think that will probably carry over, and I think he'll probably be able to show how that decision-making is helping him at game time on Thursday night.
Let me tell you the one thing I don't love about this quarterback competition right now. Both John Elway and Vance Joseph had said the games are going to count huge, and I certainly understand that sentiment. I certainly understand why we've hit the point in camp where, as you've already laid out, it's almost counterproductive to go against this defense. They're so good, even when they don't know your plays, after 8 days of practice, there's just no point anymore. I think we see that. I think the offensive players have pretty much hinted at that. You know, we talked to a couple guys on our radio shows that have said, yeah, I'm pretty much tired of seeing Chris Harris and Aqib Talib and TJ Ward and so on and so forth because they just are so good. So now the Broncos get a look at a different team, which is great, but it's a different team that likely is going to be playing, for the most part, base concepts. So, you know, I hope to see some great numbers out of these two quarterbacks. But, Andrew, we still are really, even if we were to see a great preseason out of both quarterbacks, we're still going to have to now then wait and see how they handle this thing when it's for real against the LA Chargers and the defenses aren't vanilla anymore.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. Now, I think we'll start seeing some more and more different stuff as you get to the second preseason game, and in particular the third preseason game against the Packers. I think then it's not going to be so much vanilla when you get to that game, and I think that will be a pretty good test, although by that point you figure they will probably already decide on the quarterback, I imagine. I can't imagine this is going to be something that lingers into the third game. What do you think?
No, well, look, I'm just going to say it. I've kind of put it out there before. Where I expect the cream to rise to the top as far as this quarterback competition is going to be this practice against San Francisco, for this reason. And you and I have talked about it on the radio show. Join us on Orange and Blue 760. I've got the morning shift. Andrew's got the afternoon shift. And then we come together to bring you these podcasts every week. But where I think we're going to learn a lot is when we get to the San Francisco practices and you have a Kyle Shanahan, who no matter, and I know John Elway thinks the world of him. I heard through a lot of back sources that said, hey, it was a tough decision for John, but they love Vance Joseph. And I think they're very happy with that decision as well. The bottom line is, Kyle, and we know the Shanahan family a little bit in this town, no matter how you slice it, Kyle didn't get picked for the job. And I think Kyle's going to be looking to show the Broncos that, you know, Vance is a good coach, but you made the wrong decision. And so I think that's going to add a little extra spice, a little extra sauce to these practices. And I think John Lynch, you know, John Lynch and John Elway are friends, and you always want to beat your friends. So I think it's going to be an interesting week of practice. And I think we'll know even before the game who the starting quarterback's going to be. And I'll be curious to see if the decision on who plays first doesn't change. Now, my gut tells me it won't, because they're going to let Paxton play with the ones. But if Paxton, again, if the practice form holds up against an unknown defense, and he's, you know, this is where we get to really see how much progress he's made reading coverages and concepts that he's not seeing every day in practice. If Paxton handles those and then does well in the San Francisco game, well, then guess what? I'm going to be more believing that he's going to be the starter opening day. Right now, the way things stand, I still think Trevor's going to be your guy when they trot out against the LA Chargers late on a Monday night at Sports Authority Field.
Yeah, I think that's I think you're right on that one. And I think we'll see what the Niners have dialed up when you get to the practices against them. But I think it'll also be interesting to see which unit Paxton Lynch leads. I wonder if it'll probably be first team one day, second team the next day. And is it going to be, if he's with the first team, is it going to be against the Niners first team or the Niners second team? I'm fascinated to see like how the practices are structured and how that ends up affecting what happens and what and how he plays and how that may factor into the decision. And there are certainly a lot of moving parts to consider. And I'm sorry if I got a little bit distracted by my kid kind of talking there, but
hey, don't worry about that. I mean, you had to wait a little bit later because I was eating homemade ice cream and It took me a long time to fight off the head freeze. Are you a homemade ice cream guy, by the way?
I am. I just don't have time to do it.
Well, you need to come over to the house before we get to the first preseason game. I got an old Southern recipe for my grandma, and we'll mix some up for you. So you know what? I changed the subject quickly, because we're going to get off the quarterbacks for a minute. Before we wrap this thing up, and we'll give you another kind of, Andrew and I will get together, I don't know, maybe Saturday or so, and we'll give you what we thought about that first game. We got to let Andrew get some rest, as it's going to be an early morning return for Andrew from Chicago. But I'm going to throw a name at you, and you tell me if you think he's changed the room that he's in as far as everyone maybe having to try a little harder. And that name is Stephen Ridley. We've talked about him before. I'm sorry. There's two guys in this camp who people have told me they don't think they're going to make the team, and I love both their stories. And to me, it's Stephen Ridley and Jordan Taylor. And every time I turn on the tape or I go to a practice, those guys seem to be doing something.
Well, with Jordan Taylor, for Broncos fans, it's obviously not a secret because he's been making those plays in practice for 3 years. And you know, even go back to when he first came in and Peyton Manning pointed to Jordan Taylor in OTAs of 2015 and said, hey, this kid's got something. And so Taylor is not a surprise that he just goes out there, keeps making catch after catch. I'd expect him to make some catches against the Bears on Thursday because that's just what he does. He's good awareness on the field, great body control, always adjusts well to the ball in flight, has good timing and cohesion with the quarterbacks. And he makes enough plays to where he basically just says, hey, you know what? I know that there's a lot of depth at receiver. Maybe other guys do more on special teams, but you know what? I dare you to cut me because I'm making all these plays. And Stephen Ridley, he's upended the running back competition because he's out there and he's running with purpose. He's running like he knows it's his last shot, and I think, frankly, he probably does know it's his last shot, given how he's bounced around the last few years. There's a decisiveness to the way he attacks the holes. When I see him in there, I see no drop-off from C.J. Anderson, quite frankly, and he's doing the same things that C.J. Anderson is doing. He's doing the same things that D'Angelo Henderson is doing. There's going to be a very tough call coming at running back because the quality of that room is at such an extremely high level. And Ridley looks like he belongs in the league. He belongs on somebody's team. And I mean, you figure out Devontae Booker is going to have a spot and he's going to be on the 53 because he will be back pretty early in the season. And that's looking like one of the most difficult choices on the roster right now, what you do at running back and what you do with Stephen Ridley, because he looks like a perfect fit in this offense. And, of course, go back to New England, a similar offense to the one that Mike McCoy is installing, and he was a perfect fit there back in 2012 when he was over 1,000 yards.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up on this point. As fans get ready to watch the first preseason action of the season, where do you think the position groups are that the decisions are going to be the toughest? Because to me, when you talk about a Stephen Ridley, a Devontae Booker, when you talk about D'Angelo Henderson, I haven't even mentioned C.J. Anderson yet. I mean, you got a lot of backs. You got a lot of receivers. I don't know what the situation at tight end is. And frankly, I was going over it with Tyler Columbus the other day on the radio as far as the offensive line. My guess is 8 is the cherry number they'd like to get to on the offensive line. But you've got so many good offensive linemen. You're going to be cutting some really good guys. And, you know, you've always talked about it. You were the first one to tell me this, and I've been looking at it the same way ever since. The running backs, the receivers, the tight ends, they could all be one big number. Instead of three little numbers, they could all be one big number. And then I look at, well, maybe you borrow that from the offensive line. Andrew, there's going to be a lot of tough decisions, I think, before this roster is all shaped up.
Yeah, and I mean, are you borrowing from the offensive line to keep an extra back, receiver, or tight end? I mean, that could be a really tough call to make, and especially with the depth on the offensive line. That's one area, it goes under the radar. But the second team on the offensive line looks much, much better than it has at any point in the last few years, quite frankly. Now, some of that is because you've brought guys in and you've bumped starters down to the second. And in the case of Michael Schofield, he's actually operating with the threes right now. But I wouldn't put too much in that just because he's still a guy that can play four positions on the offensive line, so he's actually kind of a unique case, even though he's sitting there on the threes at this point. But, you know, Tyson Brunlow is a former starter as a rookie, starting left tackle, who's down with the twos, and Donald Stevenson is with the twos, and he started for you most of last year. And, you know, Connor McGovern I think he's made the most of his shot working on the first team at center throughout the offseason and in the early part of training camp. And I think he may actually have the most solid spot of any of the backups right now being on the roster. I think he may be that first guy in on the interior at center and the guard spots if there are any injuries there. He may have beyond the starting five, he may be the most set, and then beyond that, it's wide open among Alan Barber and Billy Turner and Tyson Brunlow and Donald Stevenson and those guys I'm talking about. Your three guys have been full time starters in this league, and then you have Schofield has been a full time starter, and Turner has started a bit in the past for Miami. A lot of quality and a lot of experienced depth that you just didn't have before. Really tough choices. And, you know, when this roster goes down to 53, unless you have some unexplainable wave of injuries between now and the cut to 53, there are going to be a lot of recognizable names, particularly on offense, that are let go just because there's not room for everybody.
When you talk about that depth, I think that's also a credit to, in particular, you know, Jeff Davidson, the new offensive line coach, his assistant coaches, Jeep Chris getting in there. Jeff Hierman's starting to show up. A.J. Derby's had some good days. Virgil Green is Virgil Green. We haven't even seen Jake Butt yet. Very intriguing preseason lies ahead. And as you said, let's get to the games and start figuring this stuff out, especially let's just get through this first game, you know.
Yeah, and you mentioned A.J. Derby, and he's listed on the third team, but that's don't really buy into that designation. I mean, he's there just because you kind of have to list somebody, but those three tight ends, you kind of put them into a mix and shake them up. And in reality, A.J. Derby's actually on the first team in some packages because he's your primary F tight end, which is your stand-up tight end in space. So when you've got, a formation that's two tight ends and one of them standing up, that one guy is A.J. Derby. And the F tight end is sometimes used interchangeably with a third wide receiver. So in reality, A.J. Derby's almost splitting time with a guy like Benny Fowler. So having him listed as a third teamer, it's an official designation, but it's why there are some things that are kind of deceptive on the depth chart, and one of them is AJ Derby's listing.
Well, that's our man Andrew Mason. I'm Andy Lindahl. Hope you enjoyed the preview. We'll get you a review of the game against Chicago coming up over the weekend. Till then, have a great weekend. We appreciate you listening to the Horsing Around podcast here on DenverBroncos.com.